Ace Podcast.
Coming up on this episode.
However, they conceded that they are called in to assist in arachnophobic passengers more often than they used to be because people do not tend to have a newspaper handy during the morning commute these days.
If you tried to hit a spider in Melbourne with a newspaper, he'd pick it up and beat you with it. Escaped cow leads police on a two-hour chase to Taco Bell.
How slow are these police?
Police say the man attacked a woman who was getting out of a cab Monday afternoon. The driver of the taxi says he got out to help the woman, and that's when the man undressed and stole his cab.
All this and more on this episode of Two Middle-Aged Dudes and a Microphone.
10, 9, we have ignition sequence start. Engines on, 5, 4, 3.
Hey there, you. Hey, welcome to Two Middle-Aged Dudes and a Microphone. I'm Craig.
I'm Aaron, and Two Middle-Aged Dudes and a Microphone is the podcast coming to you twice a week, every Monday and Friday, bringing you the best in weird stories, strange news, weird news, and strange stories.
The best.
Yes.
You were redundant just then.
I try not to be.
Hey, you know what?
What?
We're going to get straight to it. You know why?
Why?
Because we got this. Top story.
Headline is, Tanzanian guide arrested for fake translation of tourists' remarks.
So they would say something, he would say it back wrong.
Exactly. A tour guide at a Tanzanian game park has been arrested after falsely translating a tourist's comments about the country and its people.
This is going to be good.
This is one of those stories that keeps me up laughing at nights. I was thinking about this story last night, chuckling, and couldn't sleep. The guide was arrested on unspecified charges on Thursday.
Well, they just specified what it was.
on the orders of Tourism Minister Jermaine Mashembe. I guess that's how it's pronounced.
Jermaine.
The unnamed guide. Why don't you have a name? No wonder he's got issues.
Maybe that's why he's giving such problems.
It is. The unnamed guide.
Because I do what I want. They don't know who I am.
Who am I? Was from the Serengeti National Park on the northwest. Regional Police Commander Philip Kalangi told the BBC that he was being questioned but did not give more details. The BBC's Lizzie Mazinga in the main city, Dar es Salaam.
You made that up.
Said it's unclear why.
Is that Shalom?
I don't know.
No, it's not really.
Said it's unclear why he has been arrested or whether he will be charged.
Did they not read the head of the line of the story?
Don't get ahead of me. Don't get behind me. The minister may have felt that he was mocking the tourist or mimicking President John Magufuli.
More like Magoofy.
Mega goofy. As some of his words were similar to those used by the president at a rally last month when he called on people to stop complaining about hunger. Hey, guys, I know you're hungry. Would you please stop complaining about it? Okay, so to give our listener an idea of what this sounded like on to them.
Right.
I'm going to read some lines that the tourist said.
You're the tourist.
Yep, and you're going to translate exactly what he translated.
I'm going to listen to what you say, and I'm going to translate.
You're going to translate. Okay, you ready?
Yes.
Okay, here's the first one. Hi, my visit to Tanzania was just been beautiful and gorgeous.
You Tanzanians complain and cry a lot about hunger.
The people are fabulously wonderful and friendly.
Every day you cry about hunger. When you have flowers at home, why don't you boil the flowers and drink them?
Greetings are always Jambo.
And that means hello.
It is not good to cry and complain about hunger.
Why did that tourist say all that?
it's so funny. It reminds me of the translator for Obama that time that had no idea what
he
was saying.
Right.
Happy to be here. The land is beautiful, beautiful. The animals are wonderful.
You are asking your president to cook for you.
Another tourist said,
the variety of animals and people you see is incredible, unlike anywhere else.
Do you think your president is a cook? Can you get busy, even boil your clothing and eat?
And yet even another tourist said,
it will be an experience to savor for all your life.
Get busy in every corner of the country.
That's not what she said at all. And then the last quote that we have from a tourist is,
it is fantastic and beautiful and incredible and just remarkable.
The president can't leave State House to cook for you. You have to cook for yourselves.
They didn't say anything like that.
They just said all of that.
So this guy was pushing his political agenda and acting like that's exactly what the tourists were really saying.
You ready?
Yep, ready.
Inmates escape, grab some stuff, sneak back into prison for years.
Wait a minute. They
Didn't I send this to you?
Yeah, you may
or
have.
I saw it yesterday.
You may have sent it to me. They break out of jail.
This is going on in Atlanta.
And they just go get stuff, and then they come back and break into jail?
They just break back in again.
And they did it for years.
Apparently, and it was fine. And they suspected it, I believe. Inmates trying to break out of a prison is nothing new, but inmates breaking out, then breaking right back in. Apparently, it's been happening for years at a federal facility in Atlanta.
Hey, wait a minute. Before we continue reading, I think I figured this out, because they could make a fortune selling contraband. So if they're breaking out to get stuff and take it back and resell it.
Right, but the problem is that they're letting them do it.
Oh, you think they knew about
it? I think they suspect. Let's read.
Okay.
Back in January 2013, the Atlanta Police Department started investigating inmates temporarily escaping, that's in quotes, from a medium security U.S. penitentiary in the city, according to court documents filed in what appears to be the latest unapproved furlough.
You know, I don't know that I would call that medium security. I think I'd call that no security.
No security.
A no security prison.
Cops believe the inmates escaped through holes cut in the prison fence. Isn't that kind of cliched?
Yeah.
And how do you have a fence?
I've seen that movie.
How can you have a fence that? Okay. Officers first noticed a car parked near the prison fence line. The people inside wore ski masks and jumpsuits. Okay. There's your other clue.
It's never good.
Some good police work right there. When cops approached, the suspects climbed the fence and ran back onto prison grounds, court records show.
And they were reported as saying, you can't catch us.
Inside the car, cops found bottled alcohol, 24 cell phones, and two loaded handguns.
Oh, my gosh.
Since then, APD has frequently checked the area. Late last year, officers discovered two man-sized holes in the fence, court records stated. Nearby were a prison-issued laundry bag, prison-issued gloves, an MP3 player, and several trash bags.
You know, I'm not the brightest guy, but I don't think they would need a detective to figure out what's going on.
And I don't think it should take that long to figure out what's going on. Probably the first night you'd be done. A month later, surveillance cameras were installed along the prison fence, and over the next 3 weeks, cops watched as inmates escaped to retrieve large bags of contraband.
So now they're just being entertained.
Now they're just watching TV.
It is Cops Watch.
Cops Watch?
It's Cops Watch. It's a watch.
Then on February 3rd, one inmate's luck ran out.
Oh, what'd he do?
How's his luck ran out? They've known for months. Justin B. Stinson allegedly escaped through the fence and grabbed a large black duffel bag filled with contraband. As he was trying to sneak back into the penitentiary, FBI agents arrested him, according to court documents.
He said, you can't arrest me. I'm already arrested.
He could say, they've known about this. I thought it was okay.
So now it's not okay?
If I had any indication that I was not allowed to do this, I guess I'm going to call foul on this.
Look, I always come back.
Then that's true.
Yeah.
The FBI found Stinson with a cell phone, two pair of scissors, two bottles of Cuervo tequila, two cartons of Newport cigarettes, four boxes of Black and Mild cigars, that's racist, and some food. The U.S. Attorney's Office in Atlanta, the FBI, and the Bureau of Prisons declined to comment, citing the ongoing investigation. Ongoing observation is more like it.
I would go back to jail too if I was these guys, because look what they've got.
The funny thing is, they just said in the article, they say that they have known about it and they've been watching them do it.
We've got these guys who break out of jail.
Why don't we put the guys that have been watching them out of a job?
They break out of jail.
Right.
They load up on booze, smokes, entertainment.
Right.
Go back to jail.
They're making a fortune off the other inmates, probably.
Either that or they're just having the time of their lives on our dime, eating our food and sleeping on our cots.
And the funny thing is that they could have been gone.
They keep coming back in. Well, yeah, because why would you leave?
They got three solid meals, a cot.
And booze and all kind of fun stuff. Criminals. Psh. All right, guess where we're going? You're going to love this.
Okay.
We're going down under.
Oh, no.
Yes, going down under. Headline is, massive spider claims 6 seats for itself on a busy Melbourne train.
Did he have his wee little luggage with him?
He had a little hat on.
He's holding like 8 little bags.
A sizable spider traveled in style on a busy Melbourne train on Friday morning.
Is this really a story?
This is a real story.
Is it really a story? I'm sure spiders travel everywhere all the time.
Claiming enough space to stretch out across 6 seats. And I've seen the spiders in Melbourne. That is true. It's not hard to imagine.
Those huntsman spiders,
yes,
too.
Yes. The spider successfully annexed a set of 4 seats on a crowded peak hour service.
They just took them.
As well as 2 seats in the row behind. that it might have been eyeing off for extra legroom.
No, a lot of eyes.
Yeah. Nervous commuters decided it was better to stand in the aisle rather than risk the wrath of the spider. One commuter, who wished to remain anonymous, bravely took a photo of the scene and sent it to the Age.
Wait.
Yeah.
He's brave enough to take a photo.
Not brave enough to sit down.
not brave enough to let him know who he was.
Yeah, that's true. The spider is understood to be to be on the seat of the window in the photo that he sent, and therefore cannot be seen. But the So he didn't even take a picture of the spider. He took a picture of some seats.
The spider is practicing the art of not being seen.
Yes.
Okay.
A Metro train spokesman said spider sightings on Melbourne trains were a rare occurrence.
I don't believe that.
Well, there you go.
I don't believe that.
However, they conceded that they are called in to assist in arachnophobic passengers more often than they used to be because people do not tend to have a newspaper handy during the morning commute these days.
If you tried to hit a spider in Melbourne with a newspaper, he'd pick it up and beat you with it.
The problem is people don't want to use their iPads and their cell phones to smash it.
Those spiders are huge. Have you seen the noggins on them? They're huge.
Not many people are going to use a tablet or a smartphone to shoo away a spider.
You don't shoo away Australian spiders.
The spokesperson said. The exact size of the species of spider has not been established.
Doesn't matter.
I know what it was. It was one of those huntsmen. The photographer said the spider had crawled onto the floor by the time he took the shot, and he did not want to take a photo under the seats. No telling what he'd get with that.
He'd look under the spider and go, no photos.
It's not yet known if the spider has disembarked from the train. Premier Daniel Andrews has criticized the spider as being that one passenger who puts the feet on the seat.
I don't put 8 feet on the seat.
Puts a bunch of feet on the seat.
Hey.
Yeah.
You know, I like a good story that involves a chase.
Yes.
Livestock.
Yes.
And food joints.
Yes. Those are three of our favorite things.
So this has got everything we need for a perfect golden story.
What is it?
Escaped cow leads police on a two-hour chase
to
Taco Bell.
How slow are these police?
Well, they're probably the same ones that were watching the video of the guys escaping. A steer escaped a Texas slaughterhouse last week. Well, I don't blame him.
Really?
And like those who've tasted freedom, not much unlike the guys in Atlanta, with clear priorities before him, made an immediate run for the border.
He went to Mexico?
See what they did, though?
Yeah.
Taco Bell run for the border.
Oh, I got it, yeah.
The Star-Telegram says he got loose from Hamilton Meats outside of Fort Worth and led authorities on quite the chase
about two hours
to his local Taco Bell. Sadly, in the end, it was all for naught. He was captured mere feet from the door after colliding headfirst with a patrol car, ensuring he'll never get to try that chicken, taco shell, whatever.
He was so close, Craig.
Assuming Chick-fil-A is right and cows don't eat their own, this incident may finally answer the question about whether or not Taco Bell's seasoned beef is real.
That is a good, or that's a popular question. You know, people say that
sawdust and meat.
Yeah, that it's some kind of mixture of not even meat. It's all fake. Okay.
We have a guest in the studio right now.
We do.
But we're not gonna say his name. His name, it rhymes with...
It starts with Barry.
Larry Blinzy.
It starts with Barry.
Yeah.
But his last name is very similar to my own. Exactly.
Yeah, that's what we're going to leave it at that. Okay. He's in what you might call the golden seat.
Yeah, he is.
The only seat. That's not true. We got two more that are empty if anybody wants to come by the Lee Barry Studios.
Okay, Craig, let's go from Mexican food to Italian food.
All right.
Ready? Headline is... Just okay, spaghetti dinner sparked police standoff in Merrimack.
It's all right.
A police standoff began in Merrimack after a boyfriend told his girlfriend that the spaghetti dinner she made was
okay,
according to police paperwork. Police responded to Webster Green Condominium Complex for a domestic disturbance Saturday at about 2:35 p.m. Officers met with a resident of the complex who said that his girlfriend, Jody, was in the apartment and damaging property. The boyfriend told police that Jody had made him a spaghetti dinner and asked him how it was. He replied with,
okay.
And Eklund went bipolar on him.
Oh, no.
Jody allegedly assaulted the boyfriend by punching him in the face, punching him in the arm, and scratching his hand. He left the apartment and heard Jody lock the door, according to court documents. Two firearms, Craig, two. Not
two.
One, but
and,
two.
And a good one.
A Glock 9mm and an M4 rifle were in the apartment. Officers approached the apartment door and heard Jody screaming, yelling, telling them to get the blank out of there, court documents read.
Get the spaghetti out of there?
Yes. Oh, okay. She then told police that she would kill them if they entered the apartment.
Okay, see, you can't.
No.
That's where you stop.
She crossed the line.
You
cannot threaten a police
cross
or yourself.
Cross the police line.
Yes, confirming that there were guns inside. Jody began to barricade herself in the apartment. Officers said they attempted to gain access in, and while doing so, Jody told them they could come in now, and she had the safety off.
Yeah, okay, so first of all, I'm going to shoot you and kill you.
All right.
And the safety's off, so I know how to use the gun. Apparently.
Hey, guys, I unlocked the door. It's clear. Come on in. I got my safety off.
Right.
The report says she threw out property belonging to the boyfriend into the parking lot during the incident. A speaker was also thrown out, damaging a window to a different residence. She must have a good arm.
I guess.
Jody faces 2 counts of criminal mischief, 2 counts of criminal threatening, and 2 counts of reckless conduct, all felonies. She also faces 3 misdemeanors, counts of domestic violence. So, Jody, don't tell her food's bad, Craig. You should know that.
That's right up there with the burrito and Doug. And
you
everything.
Know what? That's an issue with me because...
You don't like bad spaghetti.
I don't like bad spaghetti.
Or but, you'll go off.
But if my wife says, how was it?
You say, mm-hmm, great,
I say,
honey.
That was delicious. I even go as far as to say, may I have some more?
Mm-hmm. You just go, mm-hmm.
I'm blessed that my wife is a very good cook, as you can tell by the size of me. But in that, if it was bad.
Because you're short?
If it was bad, I would have a hard time saying it's bad. So maybe he was just being honest, and she wasn't used to it.
Honesty is not always the best policy when it comes to spaghetti and your wife.
Yeah.
Just don't do it, kids.
Do we have a nude theme?
No.
Maybe we
Thank
should.
Thank goodness.
Maybe it should just be silence, like naked music. So here's our nude theme.
That was probably some of the best music you've ever come up with. Okay, I'm just going to go with it.
Go, just read
you ready?
It. Just do it.
Carpenter on trial after neighbor spotted him mixing cement in the buff.
That's dangerous.
Is that Richard Carpenter?
No.
You know, since Karen passed away, I'm sure he's coming up with things to do.
Poor Karen.
Anyway, a man is on trial for doing DIY in his birthday suit after a neighbor spotted him mixing cement while completely naked.
Unfortunately.
He just didn't want to get his clothes.
I'm picturing this, and I'm
Please
having,
don't.
I'm having
Stop.
Issues.
Frederick Black.
That's racist.
Yes, thank you. called police saying, it's not right. That Rob Jenner would wander around naked close to a primary school. No, it's not right that Rob Jenner would wander around anywhere with no clothes
no,
on.
Not.
Jenner, 42, denies breaching a community protection notice and 13 public order offenses landing him in court.
He gets naked a lot.
Wow. The former soldier has previously admitted that he loves being naked while doing up his house and is proud of his buff body. But he does worry about splinters.
Yes.
What?
Yes.
Frederick was on his way home from the shops when he saw Jenner naked and working in his front garden.
At least it wasn't Bruce Jenner.
He said, kids are walking around that area all the time. It's right by a school. People don't want to see that. It's not right.
Really?
Maidstone Magistrates Court on Monday heard from 4 witnesses whose reactions to Jenner's new DIY range from awkwardness to anger.
They just were burning up.
Witness Michael Smith dropped his children off at the nearby primary school and was driving past when he saw the defendant completely naked, leaning on a rake. That sounds dangerous.
Hey, how you doing?
Before they made eye contact.
Don't do that
he
either.
Goes, what's up? And Jenner walked inside. The court heard that Michael then parked his car and banged on Jenner's door while shouting, get out of the house.
He was going to take care of business.
He was.
What he was going to do.
Jenner did not emerge, and Michael drove off and apologized for his language for saying to a neighbor who responded, my husband has been wanting to do that for a long time.
And he said, what, garden naked?
No, go. Yeah, garden naked. Prosecutor Paul Edwards told the court that the carpenter's actions had caused alarm and distress and lots of years of therapy. He said that Jenner must have known his neighbors would be angry because he took the step of making a sign.
Oh, that makes it okay.
Mr. Edwards said, he's not a naturist, he's an exhibitionist.
Yes.
A sign outside Jenner's home in Kent. By the way, these guys are all British, and they were Southern Brits,
yeah,
apparently
right.
in the
yeah.
story. Naturist is working on this property. Please don't take offense.
That doesn't make it okay.
That was the sign.
Yeah, that does not make it okay.
Apparently, he thought it did.
Okay, Craig, got a story here. Headline is, man blames Uber. You know what for?
There's probably a lot of things you can blame Uber for, right?
Man blames Uber for divorce and sues them for $45 million. An alleged cheating husband who got in trouble after using his wife's iPhone to book an Uber blames the app for the end of his marriage and is suing Uber for $45 million.
How do you come up with that number?
I don't know. The businessman says that after he logged into his own Uber account on his wife's phone and then logged out again, A glitch in the app caused her to keep receiving notifications whenever he used the service, arousing her suspicion that he was having an affair and leading her to file for divorce.
Okay, so another example of someone not taking responsibility for their actions.
It's not his fault he was having an affair and got caught.
It's not his fault that he was running around his wife.
If he wouldn't have been using Uber, he wouldn't have got caught.
Right. They basically blew the whole cover.
So this I'm tired of these lawsuits where, like you say, people are not taking responsibility for their own actions, and they're blaming these big companies and trying to get rich off of it. $45 million.
And that also seems to be the shortest story in this entire episode.
It does, but I just wanted to throw that out there. A little editorial review, too.
Okay, well, let's get back to naked people stealing taxis and driving through Posh Park. Philadelphia. Police say a naked man stole a taxi and recklessly drove through a crowded park in a posh section of Philadelphia.
Philadelphia, huh?
How about we just repeat Philadelphia a whole bunch? Police say the man attacked a woman who was getting out of a cab Monday afternoon. The driver of the taxi says he got out to help the woman, and that's when the man undressed and stole his cab. Police say the suspect drove through Rittenhouse Square, hit three parked cars, and crashed into a curb before being apprehended. The suspect was taken to a hospital, his condition unknown.
I know his condition. He's insane.
The woman who was attacked is expected to be okay. No one else was hurt.
So this guy, a guy pulls over to help a lady, and another man gets naked, jumps in, and steals his taxi.
Well, that's what you do.
That's not what I do.
No, I mean, you don't get in the taxi with your clothes on because you might get your clothes dirty. You don't know where that taxi's been.
Headline is, woman says she was arrested and jailed for commenting on a Facebook post. I've seen some comments that deserve arrest in some cases.
Possibly.
Washington County, Georgia. An ex-wife is suing two Washington County deputies and the county after being arrested and charged with criminal defamation over a Facebook post.
Defecation?
No, not defecation.
Oh!
Defamation. Okay, here's what it said.
What? Okay.
She posted, that moment when everyone in your house has the flu and you ask
everyone's got the flu.
And you ask your kid's dad to get them, not me, more Motrin and Tylenol, and he refuses.
That's
all she put. She was just complaining that her ex-husband, and she wanted him calling that. She called him her kid's dad.
And he wouldn't do it.
He wouldn't do it. Ann King was talking about her ex-husband, Corey King.
Corey.
Yeah, you know Corey.
Yeah,
you remember
Corey.
Him?
Yeah.
He's one of the Washington County deputies, and she's suing him. Several people commented on the post, including our friend Susan Hines, who was also arrested, Craig. Arrested just for commenting on the post.
What did she say?
She said, give me an hour and check your mailbox. I'll be glad, all caps, to pick up the slack.
It's not that bad.
No, it's not bad at all.
No.
This guy's a deadbeat father. Just because he's a deputy. The lawsuit says
deadbeat deputy.
The lawsuit says during a warrant hearing, the magistrate called this a criminal defamation case and even threatened to ban Miss King from Facebook. These guys are all in it. It's like a man's club.
It just occurred to me.
What?
Can we be talking about this?
Oh yeah.
We might get sued.
Bring it on, baby.
Bring it.
The lawsuit says Miss King was locked in a cell for about 4 hours before she bonded out for $1,000.
So they abused their power,
yes.
Arrested her.
They took offense to what she said. You know, call me, blah, blah, blah. When the case went before a state court judge, the judge said, I don't even know why you're here. The solicitor eventually dropped the charges.
He should have been fired.
Miss King's lawyer claims that this is a violation of her constitutional rights to free speech and say criminal defamation has been considered constitutional in Georgia for the past 35 years. So I agree with that judge. There's no reason that should have never made it to court. It's ridiculous.
If they arrest and put people in jail for things they said about other people on Facebook,
yeah,
we already don't have enough space in jail.
They'd have to build a Facebook jail. Oh, there is a Facebook jail.
Is there?
Yeah, that's what they call it when Facebook kicks you out for a time.
You seem like you know about this.
I've never been kicked out of Facebook.
Okay, you ready?
Ready.
You like a good underwear story?
I love a good underwear story.
Underwear-clad man rescued from inside wall of New York apartment.
Wait a minute. How'd he get in the wall?
Well, maybe I'll read and tell you. Are you ready, Mr. Impatient?
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
The New York Fire Department said more than 40 firefighters
good
responded
night.
To an apartment to free a nearly nude man trapped inside a woman's wall.
45. That's like a three-alarm nude man.
I don't know. The department said a resident of a seven-story apartment building in the Kipps Bay area of Manhattan called 911 just after 12 a.m., or if you're in Australia, it's probably 0030, Tuesday to report a man shouting for help from inside the wall of a... I need your help.
Someone's help. Be out here.
Hello.
It's cold in here.
I'm naked and I need help.
And they said, listen, lady, stop calling us.
Yes, stop. Anyway, Tuesday to report a man shouting for help from inside the wall of her first floor apartment near her kitchen vent. The woman said she heard a loud crash coming from the vent before a man started shouting for help. I freaked out for a couple of minutes, and I went over to the kitchen, and I heard someone panting and breathing they were in obvious pain. They were freaking out, said the resident. Just a magician. GM told them. She's 33, by the way. I opened the kitchen vent so he could breathe.
That was very nice of her.
She said she initially thought she might have been targeted by a prankster. I thought he was playing a joke. I couldn't comprehend what was happening. It was so bizarre.
Yeah, if your wall's talking to you, I put that down as in the bizarre.
More than 40 firefighters responded to the home to extract the man from the wall.
Now, why do they need 40 firefighters to pull a naked man out of a wall?
I don't know.
That's a sentence I never thought I'd use.
The shaft was so small, the patient's body took up the entire void, so power tools were out of the question. We pretty much exposed it by hand, and between the sheet metal and the shaft was wire mesh with sharp edges.
Oh, crap.
We used tin snips and dulled all the edges before we took him out.
So before he got into the wall, he was probably fully clothed. He was working his way
around. Shredded his clothes on the way out. Anyway, that's what Battalion Chief Patrick Tansey had to say about it. The 30-year-old man who was dressed only in his underwear was released after about 45 minutes of effort by firefighters. The man was found to have recently moved into the fourth floor apartment in the building. Firefighters said he had been with friends on the roof of the building when he apparently decided to try to reach his apartment through the ventilation system.
Bad idea.
How do you get to that?
He's seen too many Tom Cruise movies or something.
Firefighters said he may have ended up on the first floor because he had another destination in mind. He had told the occupant who called us something about a pool in the basement, but I don't know. The man did not appear intoxicated and was released after being checked out at the local hospital.
Let's break this down real quick because it's time for our top 10 list. But let's say you're making a baked potato. You're in front of your oven and your wall starts talking to you.
Hey, let me out. It's cold in here. Put my underwear on.
Hey, I'd like a potato.
Can you put an extra potato on for me?
I wouldn't mind a potato if you don't mind letting me on this wall.
What would you do? I'd run.
That would be weird.
I'd have grabbed my cell phone and called from
outside
the house.
I would have probably started smacking myself in the side of the head wondering if I was going crazy.
So this guy's on the roof with friends. He goes, hey, watch this.
I probably would have stood there with the dumber than normal look on my face trying to figure out why is my toaster talking to me?
This guy said, hey, y'all, I'll meet you at the pool.
Hey, watch
this. I'm going in.
It started with, hey, watch this.
It did start with that. He jumped in the vent.
Hey, it's time for the Flash Chackas Top 10.
All right. Okay, Craig, this week's top 10 is top 10 worst movies of 2016.
How could you even possibly narrow it down to just 10?
Well, this is the top 10. This is the worst of the worst.
Okay.
Number 10, Independence Day Resurgence.
Yeah.
Never saw it.
It's not good.
Okay.
Number 9, I think is absolutely dreadful, and yep. I don't care what anybody says, and I have good arguing points on why it was, Suicide Squad.
I didn't see that one either.
Horrible, horrible movie.
Number 8. Mother's Day, I did not see because I saw the commercial and it looked stupid.
Don't know what that is.
Yep.
Number 7, Cafe Society.
Never heard of that
one. Don't know what that is.
Never heard of it. Number 6 is a big surprise to me because this got such rave reviews from some people that I respect.
Number 6 got really bad reviews, but then, and I just had this conversation with someone the other day, we both agreed it wasn't as bad as everybody said it was. It wasn't good.
Well, according to this list, the number 6 worst movie of last year was Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice.
It was... I'm not going to argue it was a good movie, but it was not nearly what everybody said. It was enjoyable. It was just missing big chunks.
I've got it recorded. Just hadn't watched it yet.
Yeah. It's what you just said.
Yeah.
Number 5, I never saw the first one. Now You See Me Too.
Did you see that one?
I didn't see the first or the second one.
I didn't either. I've got the second one recorded.
The first one looked interesting. But
the first one got great reviews.
I said interesting. I didn't say interesting. I said interesting.
I think what they tried to do was remake the same movie, just change it up a bit. Number 4, Zoolander 2.
Now, I heard it was actually hysterical, but it was definitely
blue
material. It was nothing but...
If you enjoyed Zoolander 1, you probably would enjoy
Zoolander 2. Well, I think Zoolander 1 was really... Zoolander was funny.
Yeah.
Was hysterical, actually.
Yeah.
But I hear this one went for all the low jokes, the funny, but yet vulgar type. And honestly, if it's not clever, it's not going to be as funny.
Right.
And if you're just going for the easy jokes,
eh.
I don't know. But I haven't seen it, I can't say.
Me either.
Number 3. Dirty Grandpa.
I don't even know what that is.
But much better than the first one, Clean Grandpa.
I do remember a Bad Grandpa.
Isn't Dirty Grandpa of the Jack A series?
No, that's Bad Grandpa.
That's Bad Grandpa.
Yeah.
You sure? No,
and that one,
I don't know what Dirty Grandpa is.
I don't either. Number 2, I did see, let me rephrase that. I saw the first half of it. So bad, I had to cut it off. Brothers Grimsby.
I don't know what that is.
It's got Sacha Baron Cohen in it, and you know how he pushes the envelope on everything he does? He pushed it too far in this
you
one.
You know, and speaking of him, I just watched the second Alice movie, Through the Looking Glass.
Yeah.
He was fantastic.
He's a great actor.
He owned that movie. He was the best thing about that movie.
I'll tell you, the first 5 minutes of Brothers Grimsby, I was rolling on the floor laughing, and my wife was looking at me like, what is wrong with you? But then it got so vulgar and filthy, I had this conversation
with somebody the other day. I can put up with some stuff, but if it starts distracting me from the movie, that's when it bothers me.
Yeah, and this one did. This one got so bad, you're thinking, I can't believe they showed that.
And the final one, number one worst movie of the year, which I made it maybe a quarter of the way through.
Yeah. It's that bad?
X-Men Apocalypse. It was just bad. It was
I've never
boring.
Seen it. I'm not an X-Men guy.
No, by your height, I can tell.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. Thanks for listening to Two Middle-Aged Dudes in a Microphone. If you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to rate and review it within your favorite podcast app. You can also visit us on Twitter at 2MADAAM or on Facebook at Two Middle-Aged Dudes. Our website is 2dudes.stream. That's the number 2dudes.stream. If you have questions or comments about the show, you can email us at middleagedudes@gmail.com.